Hey, welcome back, everybody. Time once again to meet our community. The Orange County Hispanic Community, brought to you by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and Orange County's own community radio station, with the only one who knows everybody in the community, John Gutierrez.
Welcome, everybody, again to our community podcast show powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. I'm John Gutierrez, the Senior Vice President here. And again, today we have another special guest with us today, a longtime member of our chamber, has been supporting us in so many things in the community. He's the president, CEO, of course, El Pollo Norteño Restaurants, which are here throughout Orange County. And we'll talk about his history, his family, and of course, what's in the future of his business. He's one of our longtime supporters. Welcome, Mr. Alfonso Corona.
Hey, John, thank you very much. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure and great being with you guys on the show and with Paul as well.
No, it's...
Hey,
it's,
John.
Yes, sir.
We have to delay the show 30 minutes because he has to go get some chicken.
So Paul wants comida. Paul always wants food.
Saying, yeah.
Yeah, quiero pollo.
Actually, I got to say, the first time I ever seen El Pollo Norteño is my mother-in-law and my father-in-law. They live over in Santana on Bristol over there in First Street in that area. And so I would go to their house and I would see it. And then a couple of times I stopped by to try it out. And then eventually I realized it was another one on First Street by the DMV over there, right?
Exactly.
And then eventually, of course, I realized by meeting Alfonso at our chamber that he was the owner of it. And we started talking some more. And it was just awesome to know that this franchise or this business that you have.
It's not a franchise. He owns all of them.
But
not a franchise.
But what is that? A chain? I would say a chain.
Family-owned.
Family-owned. Yeah. So let's share with the audience. Tell us the history of El Pollo Norteño, if you don't mind.
Of course. Like you said, John, I'm Alfonso Corona. My parents, in 1981, they opened the first El Pollo Norteño here in Santa Ana. They used to own a couple chicken places in Mexico and Jalisco. And also Michoacan, and then they moved in 81 here to California, and we opened the first El Pollo Norteño when I was 4 years old, right there across the street from Guadalupe Church on Grand and Second in that time.
Wow.
And that's already, we're turning 45 years right now. We're going to have our 45th anniversary in a few months. And
wait, you say 45-year
anniversary?
Are you doing something big that we should be announcing today or talking about? Are we going to have mariachi? What's going to happen? Anything in the plans yet? Are you still kind of thinking about it?
We're preparing for that. Most likely it's going to be in October. I'll let you know so we can have you guys share the word. But that's the idea, to have a big party at our locations with our employees and our guests as well.
I love how you just briefly said, yeah, my parents, my dad, Jalisco, Michoacan, they had some... There's got to be somewhere in that history where you learned good traits or good habits. Do you remember that, or were you too small?
Oh, no, yeah, I do remember that. I grew inside the restaurant, inside the business when they opened it when I was 4 years old. And I remember maybe I wouldn't do much at 4 years old, but maybe at 8 or 9 I would go and help clean tables. I think most of that you learn as just watching or being with your parents, and that resilience and that work ethic, and then to show up every day no matter what. And I think that's something that the immigrant community has, because there's no other way, there's no other options really. You got to make sure you make it here for you, for your family, and help out your family that you left behind.
It's interesting you mention the cleaning of the tables, right? Because I feel like even though some people may take that as something so simple and so basic, it's so critical to the business that when you enter a business for the first time, that it's easy to access a table to sit somewhere and it's clean, right?
Exactly.
So the fact that at such a young age, you were already helping your parents, that must have played a huge role, right? In the importance of cleanliness, right?
Oh, yes, of course. And then being aware of a lot of stuff that normally no one or you as a kid weren't be aware before, but weren't being aware of if something's dirty, if you got something, drop a napkin, pick it up, throw it away, be welcoming to the guest as well. Learn how important the guests are at our restaurant and making sure you want to give them a good product, a good experience, so they come back.
Share with everybody a little bit. I've had your food. I love when you come to our golf tournaments.
I was hoping to have some of his food today here.
Pa, you will try some soon, Pa. This is why you got to come to our golf tournaments, Paul.
This is it.
He's always there. And I love the chicken bowls that you make. I know for our events, you modify a lot of stuff. And thank you, by the way. You're always supporting a lot of our fundraisers, our charity events, and we really appreciate that. Really do. As a chamber, we're always looking for collaborations, and so we appreciate El Pollo Norteño always being there. Every time I text you or call you or somebody else that needs your help, you always work with them or you give them a deal. Whatever it is, I really appreciate that you do that. So thank you for that. Thank you.
It's a pleasure. And there's a lot of people that also helped us during all these years that we want to make sure that we can help out and give back to our community as well.
For somebody that's never been to your restaurant, let's share with them a little bit about, you don't have to share recipes or anything, but secret recipes, but share with them what makes you different or what do you guys serve or what the experience is like, if you don't mind sharing a little bit about that.
Of course. We specialize in mesquite grilled chicken. So we cook our chickens, the whole chicken, with over mesquite charcoal.
Ooh.
Yes. So it gives it great flavor, different aroma. We still cook it as we used to do it 45 years or 50 years in Mexico. And that's the authentic way to do it. Obviously, not the cheapest way or the easiest way to do it. But it's, for us, it's the way to stay authentic and also to separate ourselves from competition or from other restaurants. So we cook our chickens over mesquite charcoal. We do also carne asada, carnitas, al pastor, birria. And
wait, you do all that?
Yeah.
Everybody thinks it's just pollo, huh?
I know, yes.
They have the misconception. They don't realize you do all these other things.
Yeah. We have some more offerings because here everyone's used to going to a Mexican place and be able to eat different things. In Mexico, you specialize in something. In the tacos de asada, only asada tacos. The birriero, it's only birria. The chicken spots, only chicken. But here you got to learn to adapt and be able to offer different things. Obviously, rent and everything, it's a big part. You want to make sure to capture as much as you can without diluting quality.
Can I ask one question, in all seriousness, because we do a restaurant show after this with Chef Pascal, and he talks about it all the time. It's harder than ever to be around for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. I think he's around 25 or 30 years. You've been around for 45 years and growing.
45 years.
How?
They must be doing something right.
Do that. How do you stay up to date? How do you not? There's always temptation, I'll go try something new tomorrow here. How do you stay popular and current?
Look up real quick, Paul. Look up.
Yeah, what am I looking up?
Somebody that's how
above?
He does it.
Somebody up above there?
No me entendió, ¿verdad?
Above there, I see it.
That real, I don't want to underplay that because there's very few restaurants.
The blessing, man. It's the
years.
Blessing. He's a good man. He gives back to the community.
Well, must be it.
And God blesses him. You guys really do a lot for the community. And I really sincerely mean it. And I think that matters, doesn't it? What didn't you say?
I think it does. I think it does help a lot. We've been blessed since the beginning. That first restaurant on Grand and Second across from the church, it did help a lot our family, and I know that a lot of other families of our employees, and to keep our goals or build our whatever we were all trying to build. But I think it's resilience. One, stay and do everything right because you're not here for the next only month or 6 months or 1 year.
Do you have to add new things? Like you mentioned, you don't just I thought it was just pollo. I thought it was just chicken. You're doing birria and all these other things. Do you have to add things over time? Do you have to change and adapt to
you
new audience?
You got to pivot, right? I'm sure.
Yes, but obviously we want to try and stay into the traditional because what we're serving right now, we're serving to the third or fourth generation already. Mm. We have young grandparents that are bringing their parents used to bring them. And now they're bringing their grandkids with us to eat chicken or to for caring for their quinceañera or primera comunión or whatever party they have. And that obviously helps a lot going through all those generations, helps a lot. But we try to stay authentic. We did add at the beginning, I think maybe like 85, 87, we did add a lot of stuff to our menu. In 1998, me and my wife, Karina, we took over the business. That's when my dad passed away. And we took over the business. And then we started to changing some stuff. We adapted a lot of it, and we started making a smaller menu. We wanted to make sure that we kept everything fresh. We don't have freezers at our restaurants. All our inventory goes around.
So you're like in and out every day. It comes in and it has to go out because you're not just taking frozen chicken.
Exactly. It doesn't come every day. We get it 2-3 times a week, but it's fresh, and it goes. Our inventory goes out 1.5 times a week.
I want to make sure we give a big shout out to his wife, Karina, who he just mentioned here, because she's here with us, and I see her everywhere with you, and obviously you just mentioned she is along the side with you, the backbone of the business, right? And we always need that support, that business partner, right?
And she's social media posting like crazy. That's why she's not on.
Yes, taking all kinds of photos and videos as she's here. So thank you, Karina. Muchas gracias. Yes. Muchas gracias. Because I know what that's like. My wife obviously runs our business. And it's just something about being able to work together and at the same time come home and be a couple and have a marriage, right?
Exactly,
You got to know how to separate, right? Wouldn't you say?
Yep. In our case, we're about to have our 30th anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you. 30 años.
Thank you. Thank you, Karina, for putting up with him.
Exactly. She's the one with the smarts, the brain, and the business. And she's the one that keeps me also a lot of time in line, because I get all excited with new projects, with a lot of stuff. So right now, we have 6 locations. Right now, we have one in Corona that we opened 2 years ago. We have Lake Forest, Garden Grove, 2 in Santa Ana, and also Anaheim. And then we have 2 in the building right now, in Westminster and one in Costa Mesa that hopefully will open in the next 1 or 2 months.
And we talked about that. In a time when restaurants have never been tougher, and I hate to say it, many restaurants are not expanding. They're closing.
And the woman.
Why are you expanding at this time? Rents have never been higher. Food costs never been higher.
He's not going to give you the secret sauce.
I want to know the secret.
Okay, Paul?
People are tuning in. No, but that's a big risk, and you talked about that earlier.
Yes, you're right. It is a big risk. I think from our experience in 2008, 2009, when the real estate bubble collapsed, we were in a situation where it was really tough for everyone. We closed a couple of restaurants. We lost a home, all that. And I saw at that point that the businesses that came out after that and the ones that were able to be in a good solid position, they were able to grow stronger. They would purchase cheaper and grow cheaper than
when everybody's
before.
Closing, they opened.
Exactly. And in this case, the economy and everything had been apparently strong for the last maybe 4 or 5 years. For us, it did start declining a little last year. This year, but we saw some opportunities in these places. And in this time, unfortunately, some restaurants were closing, and that's where we were able to go in. Rents are higher, but our business model, it's smaller locations, about 1,800, 2,000 square feet. Most of our sales are to go. It's a fast casual place.
That's the COVID world we live in now. My son-in-law and daughter only do Uber Eats and all that kind of stuff. Do you do that kind of stuff too? Uber Eats and all the other places that take out? I forgot all the chains, but
we do. And
Paul's just taking over my interview.
I'm just fascinated because this guy's been around for 45 years. I want to learn, and he's growing when others are contracting. So that's a big deal.
So in 99, we started offering delivery service. At that time, it was only pizza places that would offer in-house delivery service. So we would have 2-3 in-house drivers at our locations and do our deliveries for catering and regular delivery orders. Then Grubhub started. I think for us, that was our first one. And this is before COVID. It was Grubhub. We would get the orders via fax, we'll prepare the order and send it to the homes or businesses. Then obviously COVID hit, and then a lot of companies came out. We at the beginning didn't want to go that route because obviously they take a good chunk of our profit, really. But it's a good way for us to promote our business, and we do use Uber Eats and DoorDash for our deliveries. Right now, we don't have in-house drivers. Now, all the deliveries are done through third parties.
I want to share with everybody, I know Paul has a lot of questions about how
I could go on,
and why. But at the end of the day, guys, if you're in the restaurant business and the food is not good, you're not going to grow, right? Let's just be real. It's about the product. It's about the food. And I got to tell you, their food is really good. One of the things that I love the most when you set up at our golf tournaments is I just find that I grew up in Santana, and my mom would always make us burritos in the daytime, that we grew up on tortilla de harina and burritos. And your guys' frijoles de la olla are very good. And would you say they're frijoles de la olla, right?
Los charros.
Los charros. Yeah, exactly. Is that what you call them? Los charros. Yeah, yeah. What does los charro mean? Is it the way it's made or something?
That's the way it's made. It comes with veggies and chorizo as well, but it's whole beans,
Yeah. When you add the frijoles, when you have the chicken and the rice, and when you add the frijoles on there, the juice of the frijoles kind of brings it all together. That's just my take. And I'm speaking because whoever's listening or watching and you've never had their food, it's important that little things like that matter. They yes. really do. And then he has this great salsa bar where you have all these types of salsa. So now you go over there and you throw some salsita in there. And now you're stirring it all together and you got the rice. Is this making you hungry, Paul, by the way?
You're killing me.
You're killing me. So when you're eating that bowl of arroz, frijoles, the chicken, and I'm sure other stuff if you decide you're not going to. I love the chicken. And it all comes together. It's just like heaven. Right? It's delicious. That is the secret to growing, I think, a restaurant. It's quality, right? Yes. It's good food. It's quality. It's the way you just said frijoles charros. I didn't know that's how you made them.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. And you're right. It's the product. But in restaurants, I think the product, it's obviously the food. We got to make sure we prepare good food. But the product, in our case, it's everything. It's how you treat your customer, how you yes. receive them, what experience they have with yes. our business. And that's the product. And we work really hard to be better every day. Obviously, there are some times that we'll mess up, but we learn from that and try to learn from our mistakes and make it better next time.
And your setup is really nice, by the way. When you've set up, you're obviously catering, right? I love your setup. It's very user-friendly. I think that matters, your setup, right? And your guys and you, your whole team, you guys are there early. You set up. You're ready to go. That matters. That's part of the customer service that you're talking about,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
And so you want to ask that question like Paul does. How have you been around 40-some years, right? 45, you're saying?
45, yeah.
There's a whole piece to it. It's not, right? It's just not one component.
Exactly. It's not one. And then in catering, catering, it's a big part of our business. And we'll cater, just pick up orders, and you can pick up and bring it to your office or to your home or to a party or funeral, unfortunately. But
funerals
also,
are a big thing. People need food, right?
Yes,
because
exactly.
You're there for a long day, right? From yes. church, especially Hispanic funerals. We're here at the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce podcast, obviously. And I can share that when I had my dad's funeral, it's just a long day.
Oh, yeah.
And you're right. You're very hungry. So the fact that you guys can arrive and have everything ready to go, you're feeding an army of people that obviously, unfortunately, it's been a rough day, but they need to eat.
Yes,
so
exactly.
You bring a great point. I never thought about that, but funerals are a big thing,
oh, yeah.
right?
They mm-hmm. are. And then the way that we can do different kind of service for catering, being pickup, being delivery, or serving on site, even cooking on site. We'll bring our grills because we don't need power or we don't need gas to cook. We bring our grills out, we'll light up the charcoal and then start cooking our chicken there, and we do it at company events. We'll do it at colleges, at schools. We've worked with school districts. We've done a lot. We'll go to a lot of different kind of events, and we try to serve a lot of companies. We have good relationships with companies that will serve some of them in all the way to San Diego County or LA County, where we'll do our setup. We go to the dealerships, or we'll deliver every weekend to the salespeople so they don't have to go out, eat lunch outside, so the dealership provides lunch for them. We'll deliver that to the dealerships, or we'll bring the grill out and they'll have an employee appreciation luncheon.
I think you brought up a huge point right now that I want to make sure we focus on. The grilling of the charcoal is so different than when you're at home with the gas. Two different worlds, people. I'm not a barbecue guy myself, but I see my brother-in-law, who's like our grill master. And what a difference, right? When
yes.
you've got the charcoal, it's just the flavors. Can yeah. you share a little bit about that, right?
Yes,
the difference, right? There's a big difference.
There's a big difference. And mm-hmm. the flavors, the smoke obviously depends on what wood you use. But in our case, with the mesquite charcoal, it gives it a great flavor. It gives us an opportunity while we're cooking, all the smoke coming out, the aroma.
People start
everyone
smelling
making
it.
Line. Exactly. People start smelling it. Actually, with our first location on Grand, that street, it was smaller than right now. So it was always crowded. The cars were stopped because waiting putting their lights and all that, and they, all the smoke were going was going to the street, and everyone on their car would start smelling, and they would turn around and go back.
I'm laughing. I can picture this right now. Here. People would right. stop, like, going, "Where's that smell? Oh my God, I'm hungry."
This is the one in front of the DMV.
Yes, that got relocated. We were on 2nd and Grand. Oh. Right now, it's because the street yes. got wide, and we relocated just a half a block away.
Okay.
But it's that location that was just a block on Grand and 2nd. And a lot of times on Sundays during Mass, they had to close the doors because the smoke was coming into Mass, and everyone was smelling.
Wow.
And then the El Padre would say,
the priest,
hey, the priest would say, "Close the doors, I am getting hungry." And we're only halfway. Yeah,
but
we
that,
get
you know
a lot
what?
Of customers from them.
That matters location, right? As we all know in the restaurant business.
Yes, yes.
So the fact that you're next to a Hispanic church or a church just in general, that's a good thing, right?
Oh, yeah, of course. We try to stay close to schools, church, DMV when we can, close to freeways as well. Because we noticed that a lot of our customers are on the freeway. So if you can make it easy, like the one in Corona, it's right off 91 and Main Street. So if you're going to Riverside or Corona or Norco or Lake Elsinore or Palm Springs, you can just get off the freeway. You were only one block away from the freeway and make it easy for, try to make it easier for everyone to buy our chicken.
I know we only have a few minutes left because I'm looking at the clock here, but I want to make sure that we talk a little bit about also the importance of the fact that how many people you've employed and you've given opportunities to, jobs in the economy, right? I can imagine, you talk about grandparents bringing their kids now. So many years your business has been around. Think about the hundreds, or not thousands maybe, of people you've given jobs to. What's that been like?
That's an awesome feeling. And we've had a lot of parents bringing their kids to work with us.
That's awesome.
And then if you work at a place where you're leaving and then you can bring your son or your daughter to work at a place, I think it's because you feel that it's a place that they're going to be respected and then they feel good.
Comfortable,
yeah. It's not going to be forever, but it could be a good stepping stone for anyone.
That is awesome. And what's the future? Aside from these two that are opening up, what's the future? Do you think that down the way you'd want to go, I don't know, across the country, I don't know, maybe Vegas, Arizona? What is the future? What do you envision, if you don't mind the last few minutes sharing a little bit of the dream? I don't know.
So right now, one thing that I forgot, we also have a couple food trucks where we use for catering as well.
Oh, nice.
So different events, obviously, we can't do a catering event with a food truck for 15 or 20 people, but with larger events, when they require a food truck, we'll bring our food trucks there. But on the growing side, right now that it's going to be our 8th location, the idea is grow a few more. We already applied for franchising and we got approved to sell franchises in California, Nevada, Texas, and Arizona.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank
you.
Nice. Thank you.
That is amazing.
Yes. We're excited. Obviously, we want to keep growing some more local stores and then go to Las Vegas first. I think that would be a good
market. I have family in
us.
Arizona. I often go visit my nephews over there. I was just there about a month ago. Eventually, we hope to see El Pollo Norteño in Arizona. Who knows? Maybe we'll be running one, right?
Exactly.
As a franchise owner. I just want to, again, thank you, Alfonso, really, you and your wife. Thank you so much for everything you're doing in the community. You're always there for us. In fact, they just brought me some aguas de Jamaica to my birthday party. And by the way, I have those in the cart, your barrels. I got to tell you, I've never drank agua de Jamaica, ever. Never. I'm more of a horchata kind of guy. And I tried it and I loved it. And I probably must have drank half of the gallon, that whatever 2 gallons that's there. And a lot of people loved it. And aside from the food, you got great aguas frescas. And that matters as we're entering the summer right now.
I didn't know that was theirs because I came to your birthday party.
Yes,
this is
that was
over
theirs.
At Andy Vargas Foundation.
Yes, Paul was there. So
and I was slurping that stuff down too. I was going to ask you, where did you get that?
Paul loved it. The agua fresca, right? The Jamaica.
So now you've tried something.
Yes.
I have. I didn't even know it.
And you'll get some chicken tomorrow.
Yes. Oh, he's
Alfonso's going to bring
I'm going to dream about all night tonight, and then I'll be disappointed.
I'll connect you guys. You guys can talk. But again, I just want to thank you guys for always supporting us.
And can I do a shout-out to John Gutierrez? 50th Anna, 50th birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. Turned 50.
Oh, my God. And you threw a party. I'm thinking back when I turned 50, which was a number of years ago. I think there were five of us in the back
and Alfonso and his wife were there, right? You guys had a good time.
I had five guys in the back of a bar toasting me. That was it. I didn't have 500 people at a big place like you did.
Thank you. No, I appreciate everybody's support. Yes. No.
And congratulations again.
Thank
you. You're just 2 months older than me. Even it looks the opposite. I'll be turning 50.
Let's do a big one for you too.
Yeah,
let's
exactly.
do a big party. Yeah. We got to be thankful and just blessed to live another year, right?
Exactly. Yes.
And so we appreciate that. Thank you for being on the show again, folks. El Pollo Norteño. They're going to be opening two new locations, right?
Correct.
Is there a website or someplace
to
find
everything? Yes. Visit us at elpollonorteño.com. Also,
they have an Instagram too, right?
Instagram, exactly. El Pollo Norteño.
And Facebook,
as well,
right?
On Facebook.
Yeah.
As you can find us on TikTok and also in YouTube. We have some videos where we show how we cook our chicken.
Hey,
that's me.
Go try it. Go try it,
lighting
guys.
Up the charcoal and
I'm ready to go eat this right after this. I'm ready to go have a bowl. Let's go, Paul.
I was ready beforehand, so I'm really
ready. Let's go right now.
We're going to turn the studio off.
All right, folks, there you have it. Thank you for tuning in to our community podcast show here at the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, where our community is your community.
Great. Thank you very much. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Paul.
Well, normally we make this a long outro for the show. We talk about the fact that this is part of our community, which is your community. We talk about the Hispanic Chamber, and we talk about Orange County's only community radio station here at UCI's Beale Applied Innovation Center. But that's all you're going to get today, because we're going to turn it off. We're going to eat right now.